The 110th Psalm is loved by every child of God. Meditation on it stirs his heart by its high and lofty thoughts. It allows him access to the glorious counsels of the triune God in eternity past, and carries him on through the redemptive work of his blessed Savior and Lord, to the time when this conquering King shall return the second time without sin unto salvation. If a picture is worth a thousand words, then the few words of this psalm brings forth and magnifies a thousand thoughts. This psalm follows the 109th as the Mount of Olives rises up from the valley of Gethsemane below. In the 109th psalm, we have Christ's betrayal and sufferings. Here we have his resurrection and conquering. That speaks of the Lamb of God slain. This of the Lion of the tribe of Judah triumphant. This gem of a psalm is truly messianic. There is no other psalm in which David distinguishes between himself and the Messiah. In other messianic psalms, David and his experiences are there in type, and indeed, when it is considered that David's experiences find their expression in the book of Psalms, it will be apparent that the Psalter is full of the Lord Messiah. But it is here fully that David's Lord is presented to our eyes and heart. It is so evidently a truly and wholly messianic psalm that only the willfully blind will deny it. The title ascribes the author to be David, which is confirmed by its kingly character, its martial tone, its triumphant confidence, its resemblance to other compositions by the son of Jesse, and its emphasis on the Davidic covenant. The crowning evidence, however, that David is the author and that he wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit comes from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 22, verses 41 through 45, if you'll turn there. Jesus asked the Pharisees, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say unto him, "The son of David." He saith unto them, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord? Saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool." If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? The answer, which is apparent, is that he is both Lord and Messiah, God manifest in the flesh. Dear friends, if the Lord Jesus were to ask you this question today, what would you answer? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of David, the Messiah, as Matthew states in chapter 1, verse 1 of his Gospel? The Jews did not believe that Jesus was the Son of David. But what do you believe? Furthermore, is he the Son of God? Is he God manifest in the flesh? Who is Jesus to you? Is he David's Son and David's Lord? Have you received him as such, as your Lord and as your Savior? Peter affirms this truth when he preached on the day of Pentecost. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2, verses 29 through 36. Verse 29, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God hath sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Notice first that Peter states that David was dead and buried. Therefore he was not prophesying of himself. Second, God swore to David that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. This we find in 2 Samuel chapter 7. This one was David's son, the Messiah. But he was also David's Lord, the Son of God. Peter then brings to his hearers' minds another prophecy of David. In Psalm 16, David prophesied that this Christ would die and be raised from the dead. Peter affirms that this came to pass, and that he, along with above 500 brethren at once, according to Luke, were witnesses of his resurrection. In verse 33, Peter mentions that Christ was exalted to the right hand of God, and that the miraculous tongues of that day was a result of the Father's promise of the Holy Spirit. The 110th Psalm could not, therefore, refer to David, as apparently many of the Jews believed, because David did not ascend into the heavens, but Jesus did, as David prophesied in this psalm. Therefore, Peter concludes, Let Israel know assuredly that the crucified Jesus is both Lord and Christ. He is God manifest in the flesh, the King that was promised to David. This is also reinforced by Paul in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 11. If you'll turn there for a moment. And beginning reading with verse 6. Speaking of Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Is he your Lord and Christ? Are you in a justified state? Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate? Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. This psalm, and the first verse in particular, is a prophecy, for the Messiah would not be born for another 1,000 years, of the complete victory of Messiah over his enemies and the establishment of his everlasting kingdom. It is no wonder that this verse is quoted more than any other Old Testament verse by the New Testament writers. The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Who is the speaker here? And to whom is it spoken? Notice first that the two Lords are two different words in the Hebrew. The King James distinguishes them by capitalizing all the letters of the first Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, and only the first letter of the second. The root of the first Hebrew word comes from the verb to be. When God spoke to Moses in the land of Midian, as he kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, he said, and this is Exodus chapter 3, verses 10, 13, 14, and 15, I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Moses presumed that the children of Israel would ask, what is his name? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial or title unto all generations. God would be known as the ever-present, covenant-keeping God, for God stressed that he is, that is Jehovah. I am that I am has the sense and could be translated, I have been what I shall ever be. The Jews reverently and yet superstitiously would not even pronounce this name. The Jehovah Witnesses hold this name in a way far beyond what the scriptures intended, and others do the same. In fact, God said his name was I Am, pronounced Eyeh in the Hebrew. The stress intended by this name is that he is the eternal, ever-present, covenant-keeping God, not on the pronunciation of the four Hebrew letters. It is this God who said this to my Lord. Notice capital L, small O-R-D. Who is this Lord? As we have noted in Matthew chapter 22, verses 41 through 45, the Lord Jesus asked this question of the Pharisees. They answered that he was David's son, referring to the Messiah. The Lord Jesus then asked, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord? Obviously, this Lord was greater than David. He is David's Lord. The answer is that David's Lord was God, who was to be made manifest in the flesh, as Paul revealed in his letter to Timothy in 1 Timothy 3:16. The one who is God manifest in the flesh is the Lord Jesus Christ. The angel Gabriel spoke to Joseph before he came together with Mary. And this is Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The oracle of Jehovah unto my Adonai. This term is used constantly by the prophets in the Old Testament to introduce a solemn oracle of Jehovah. It is the highest claim to inspiration and authority. It is used only here in the Psalms. The English language cannot capture the majesty of the utterance. This brings a question to the minds of some. Is there more than one God? No, absolutely not. The scripture everywhere teaches that there is but one God. But this one God is a tripersonal God. There are three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This may be hard for our minds to comprehend, but it is the clear teaching of Scripture. As Isaiah says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Isaiah 8:12. 20. Let me direct your attention to some passages of Scripture to show you that the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, being very and eternal God, of one substance and equal with the Father, was incarnate in the flesh, being conceived by the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin Mary, now with two distinct natures and yet one person, being very God and very man, the Lord Jesus, the Christ. I'll just read these verses that show this. Isaiah 8:13-14 exhorts, "Sanctify the Lord," that is Jehovah, "of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel." And compare this with 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. "Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." That this stone refers to the Lord Jesus Christ is clear from the context and shows that the Lord Jesus is that Jehovah of Isaiah 8. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10 reads, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." The context shows plainly that it is Jehovah, that is the me here, who is pierced. John chapter 19, verse 37, and Revelation 1:7 quotes this passage and shows that this was fulfilled in the person of the Lord Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 45, verses 22 and 23, God says, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return. That unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear." Now compare this with Romans chapter 14, verses 10 and 11. "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. The Lord Jesus is God. He is the Lord, he is Jehovah." In Isaiah 40, verse 3, it is prophesied that the voice of one crying in the wilderness, referring to John the Baptist, said, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord," all capitals, that is Jehovah, "make straight in the desert a highway for our God." This prophecy is quoted by John in Matthew chapter 3, verse 3, testifying that Jesus is the Jehovah God of Isaiah chapter 40, verses 10 and 11. In John 8:58, the Lord Jesus said to the Jews, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am," showing the Jews that he is the eternal covenant-keeping God. He testified the same when Judas led the men who were sent by the chief priests and Pharisees to take him. They asked if he were Jesus of Nazareth. He answered, "I am." When he said this, we read that they went backward and fell to the ground. John chapter 18, verses 5 and 6. They could not stand before that awesome one, the eternal I am. Jesus also said, "I and the Father are one," not only in purpose, etc., but in substance. We do not have the time, but you might meditate on the I ams of John's gospel. Notice in John 4:28, "I am the Messiah." John 6:35, I am the bread of life. John 8:23, I am from above. John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. Chapter 9:5, I am the light of the world. Chapter 10:11, I am the good shepherd. 10:36, I am the Son of God. 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. 13:13, I am Master and Lord. 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. 15:1, I am the true vine. 18:5-6, I am He. And they went backward and fell to the ground. 18:37, I am King. And also Revelation chapter 1, verses 8 and 17, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. You could also look at verses 18 and 19. The Lord Jesus in Matthew 22, verse 43, says that David in spirit calls him Lord. I might also add that a study of Acts 5, which we do not have time to do today, clearly teaches that the Holy Spirit is a divine person, not a force, as the Jehovah's Witnesses teach. Peter asks Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is the third person of the Trinity. Let me be so bold as to say that the Muslims, the Jews, the Jehovah's Witnesses, and all others who reject the triune God of Scripture are in error, and in fact idolaters, worshipping false gods, and should they not repent, they shall die eternally in the fires of hell. When were these words spoken? Obviously, they were spoken to David by prophecy, and he wrote them down 1,000 years before Christ came on the earth. They were spoken to Christ as he ascended to heaven to the right hand of God. We read Acts chapter 2, verses 29 to 36. As the elect were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, and that by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God they would be redeemed by Christ Jesus, it is clear the plan of God was that Christ would reign in His kingdom. Again, we would read Ephesians 1 and Acts chapter 2, verses 23 and Acts 4, 28. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 38, we read, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So these words of Psalm 110, verse 1, were spoken by God by His decree before the foundation of the world. It speaks of His plan from eternity past to eternity future. Notice that little word, my. It is a small word, just one letter in the Hebrew, but here it is a very important word. It shows the faith of David. He believed the promise of God that the Messiah, his son, would come from his loins. This would be a great honor, for the Messiah would be king from sea to sea and from the river unto the end of the earth. This one would be the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, the Messiah, a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. David believed that his son was the seed of the woman, his Redeemer, as was promised. And yet he believed that this one would be more than a son. This son is Lord to his father David. This is contrary to the nature of things, for no son is his father's sovereign. This was the crux of Christ's argument with the Pharisees recorded in Matthew chapter 22. This prophecy brought forth faith in the heart of David in the Word of God. He believed it, even though he did not see its fulfillment. it would be 1,000 years in the future before this promise would begin to be fulfilled, and another period of indeterminate time before its ultimate fulfillment. The Lord Jesus said, "Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." As Paul wrote to the Hebrews in Hebrews 11, verses 1 to 3, "Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it David obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Dear friend, do you believe the Bible? Can you say with David that the Lord Jesus is your Lord and your God, as David and Thomas did, your Redeemer, your Savior? Remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So take up your Bible, read it, study it. We have seen today that Psalm 110 was a prophecy, some of which was fulfilled when the Lord Jesus came to the earth 2,000 years ago. The rest will be fulfilled at His second coming. Is this not proof positive that the Bible is the Word of God? Some of you may not believe this, but this is not only to your shame, but to your peril. God says in Isaiah chapter 46, verses 8 through 11, "Remember this, and show yourselves men. Bring it to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, that God shall take vengeance and flaming fire on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints, and be admired in all them that believe in that day. Oh, dear friend, flee from the wrath to come. Put your trust in the Savior. Are you ready for the coming of Christ? I am not asking you when you believe the Lord Jesus will return to earth, what you believe with regard to the second coming, whether you are premillennial or amillennial or postmillennial. I am asking you whether or not you will be ready when He returns the second time, not as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world, but as the Lion of the tribe of Judah to subdue His enemies and judge the world in righteousness. If He were to come today, will He be your friend or foe? Will He be your Savior and Lord, or your judge and executioner? Will you be with Him in His kingdom, where eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him? Or will you be cast into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth in eternal torments? Matthew 22, verse 13. In Isaiah 41, the Lord, the King of Jacob, shows the vanity of idols, the vanity of false prophets, and the vanity of those who oppose His people Israel. He taunts the false prophets in verses 21 through 23. "Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that you are gods." The point is that only God knows the end from the beginning. Only He knows the future, and He has revealed to His people things to come in His word. Do you believe God's holy word? Do you trust in the God of the Bible? My plea to you is that you believe what the Bible has to say about His Son, Jesus Christ. The Lord Jehovah said to Moses, warning all, but at the same time inviting all, "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he, referring to Christ, shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Deuteronomy 18, 18 and 19. I am inviting you, dear friend, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, with the promise you shall be saved. Reject him, and you shall perish in the fires of hell forever. 2 Thessalonians 2:10. And to this we say, Amen. Christ asked the Pharisees, What think ye of Christ? And I ask you the same. What do you think of Christ? Is he your Lord and Savior? Where will you spend eternity? Consider what I say seriously. Consider it today. Is today the day of salvation for you? Believe what the Bible says of the Lord Jesus. If your hope is in Christ and Him alone, you have the promise of life that now is and of that which is to come when He comes the second time. If you are Christ, do you express your faith as David in reverence for, obedience to, faithfulness unto, and joy in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you, as a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His glorious light? With Paul, I beg you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest in the world, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Amen and amen.